Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To find out more about Hank Hanegraaff or one of his resources, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, or the Christian Research Journal, go to our website at www.equip.org. Due to the sensitive nature of today's topic, listener discretion is advised. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to devote today's broadcast to one of the most significant cultural issues that we face as a nation, as a world, and most particularly as a Christian. Joe Dallas has written an article for the Christian Research Journal, and if you've not subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you can do so online at equip.org, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. The article's titled "The Bully Pulpit," subtitled "When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame?" Believe it or not, that is a very common, loudly proclaimed message. The recent tragic rash of suicides that have taken place among homosexual teens, teens who've been bullied by classmates and by their peers, has raised this question. The question of whether Christian teaching, the Christian message about homosexuality, inspires bullying and violence against homosexuals. The article points out that no evidence suggests that religious teaching inspired the suicides, and no evidence indicates that Christian teaching influenced the people who bullied the homosexual teens. And yet, a number of celebrities are accusing pastors, they're accusing Christian leaders, of inspiring teens to bully gays. And because this accusation has been repeated over and over again through all kinds of popular media outlets, more and more people seem to believe that biblical teaching on human sexuality inspires some unstable teens to mistreat homosexuals. So now the question, do we as Christian leaders who have a voice to the nation, do we moderate our message? Do we change our message? Do we capitulate? Or maybe even more pertinently, how do we communicate our message in the first place? What's the right way? What's the wrong way? And perhaps important to underscore as we begin the broadcast is the reality that there's a common suggestion more and more prevalent in pulpits that Jesus was, or perhaps might have been, personally neutral, maybe even affirming of homosexual conduct. Is this true? Or is this revisionist history at its worst? While Jesus did not directly address many of the issues we're talking about today, incest, intergenerational, interspecies, same-sex sexuality, what he did do was clearly reaffirm every jot and tittle of enduring moral law. Paul likewise. He derived his prescriptions against same-sex sexuality from the creation order of Genesis, as well as prohibitions of Leviticus. And of course, he contended that even Gentiles without access to direct revelation of Scripture have enough evidence in the natural realm to discover God's aversion to homosexual behavior. And of course, in the book of Romans, Paul describes both the perversion and the penalty. And I think we would do well to recognize as we speak about this subject today that the Bible does not condemn homosexuality in an arbitrary and capricious fashion. Rather, it carefully defines the borders of human sexuality so that our joy might be complete. Well, Joe Dallas joins me now. His article again, The Bully Pulpit. Joe has been speaking on this subject with more calmness, correctness, compassion than virtually anyone I know of. And every time I have him on the broadcast, I'm so happy to hear both his message and the manner in which he communicates the message. Because I'll tell you, after doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast for over 22 years, I've learned something. And that is, it's not just the answer that I give, but it's the way in which I model answering a question that in the end speaks louder than my words. And Joe, as always, good to have you on the broadcast, but I think that's the first thing I want to address with you. We need to get the right tone, because if our purpose is not just sensationalism, but if our purpose is genuinely reaching people, we've got to get the tone right.
Oh, you've absolutely got that right, Hank. And that's a great way to start the discussion. I think we all do well to ask ourselves at times, when I stand against something, do I not only have the right position, that is a position that's biblically informed, but do I have the right heart? And if I don't, why not? And that's where I think we need to start in looking at our own attitude. I unapologetically hold the viewpoint that God had very specific intentions in mind when he created human sexuality, and anything falling short of a monogamous marital union between a male and female does indeed fall short of created design. But if I pick out one particular way of falling short and I rant and rave about that, but I'm rather blasé about the other ones, hey, now something is wrong with my presentation.
Talking to Joe Dallas, and again, the article, it's a must-read, The Bully Pulpit, When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame? Now, this message is important for a lot of reasons, and we've started to underscore those reasons by saying it's really important that we communicate the correct message correctly. On the other side, you're pointing something out in this article, and perhaps you can give us a bit of an overview here, but you're pointing out that there are people in very prevalent positions, they're prominent people, who are talking about trickle-down homophobia, which is to say there's a trickle-down effect that they contend is now responsible for all kinds of ills in society, and oftentimes the finger is pointing directly at those who take a biblical position.
Well, I think we're seeing a kind of a crass opportunism there, Hank. There are people in the culture, comedians, movie stars, celebrities, who have for years been very against the traditional biblical position on a number of issues, and certainly on human sexuality. And they've seized on these tragedies to try to connect the dots to find a link between traditional Christian teaching and the tragedy of teenage gay suicides. And they're completely unsubstantiated accusation, and I really do mean completely unsubstantiated, is that if preachers preach that homosexuality is a sin, that inspires their young teenage congregants to go out and bully homosexual people, and as a result, homosexual teens commit suicide. Now, connecting those dots becomes impossible because they're really not connected, but you know how this works. If you repeat something often enough, especially if it's repeated by culturally prominent figures, people come to accept it as being true. So there is a real danger, as we speak, that growing that more and more Americans will come to believe that the traditional biblical position on homosexuality somehow inspires people to commit acts of violence against homosexual people. And the solution proposed will be to silence those who hold the traditional viewpoint. So this is no small matter.
Here's a bit of an off-the-wall question. Watching the NBA, Joakim Noah, who plays for the Chicago Bulls, made what was considered or reported to be a homophobic slur. As a result of that, he apologized, the announcers and everybody's been talking about it, says it's just so unusual to come from a guy like him because he's so open-minded. He is a guy that's enlightened, and therefore you wouldn't expect something like this to come out of his mouth. He got fined $50,000. Before that, Kobe Bryant, L.A. Lakers, got fined $100,000. So the NBA is making sure that they clean up their game. How does that relate, or does that relate in any way to the Christian church?
Well, I would assume, and I could be wrong here, Hank, but I would assume that it'll have a chilling effect. Of course, when people make really derogatory remarks that are off the wall, if an athlete like Kobe Bryant calls a gay a name, or makes a dirty or a cruel remark, I think he's wrong. Now, whether or not he's wrong to the tune of $50,000, I'd have to let somebody else decide. But, yeah, I think he's wrong. But the problem is those kinds of remarks get lumped in the public's mind with any remarks critical of homosexuality. So the chilling effect is more and more Christians are feeling the squeeze like, hey, if I even say that God does not approve of homosexuality, people are going to assume I'm a bigot. People are going to put me in the same category as Kobe Bryant with his remarks, and I don't want to be seen as a bigot, so I'm just going to refuse to take any position on this at all. It's a little bit like when the show All in the Family was popular. Archie Bunker was a very well-known conservative, bigoted character, and because he was such a goofball, nobody who's conservative would want to be associated with him, and so a lot of people felt intimidated to take a conservative stand because they didn't want to be seen as an Archie Bunker. And I think we're seeing that same guilt by association being played out today.
We're to be talking about this subject during the entirety of the show. A lot of you hanging on, waiting with great anticipation to talk to Joe Dallas. Let's go to our first caller, Anne, listening in Canton, Ohio. You're on with Joe Dallas.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question for Joe. First of all, I want to say that me listening to your show tonight could not have been a coincidence. I have a child who is homosexual, and my question is, sometimes I'm struggling with how I love that child, and this child is older and out of the home, currently in college. How I love that child, but how I show that child that based on what we believe according to God's word, it's just not acceptable.
Well, first of all, do you think that this is a son or a daughter?
It is a son.
A son. Does your son know that you hold that position?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So it isn't necessary to keep repeating a position that a loved one already knows that we hold. I guess the question becomes, to what extent does your son, allow you to talk to him about personal and spiritual issues. What's the communication like?
Well, he does allow me to talk to him, you know, and we text. You know, we text a lot. We talk. But there's usually no, when I'm talking about the, especially the spiritual issues, usually it's just more of a quiet response.
Okay. Well, there's nothing wrong with gently introducing a topic and asking if the person is willing to pursue that topic with you. If he is, wonderful. If he says no, then I think you need to respect that and remember that God has many ways of convicting and convincing our loved ones, even if we no longer seem to be able to.
And remember, prayer is always firing the winning shot. We're going to be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, more of your questions answered by Joe Dallas on one of the most significant issues that we face as a culture as well as as Christians. Be right back.
The recent tragic rash of suicides among homosexual teens has raised the question of whether Christian teaching about homosexuality inspires bullying and violence against homosexuals. As Christians, we must examine ourselves and our rhetoric to make certain that our message to homosexuals, and indeed to all people, is biblically balanced, clear, and respectful. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today and gain a proper perspective on this issue with Joe Dallas's article entitled, "The Bully Pulpit: When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame?" Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Don't change the station. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back. Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. Now you can join the Bible Answer Man Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7+ inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and five-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Who are the Mormons and what do they believe? How did Mormonism begin? Is Mormonism just another Christian denomination as it claims? Or is it an entirely different kind of theology? One Nation Under Gods by Richard Abanis answers these and other questions associated with the origin, rise, and progress of Mormonism in America. One Nation Under Gods takes you on a journey, beginning with a man named Joseph Smith, bringing you to today, where the Latter-day Saints comprise an international organization. One Nation Under Gods will appeal to anyone interested in cults and those looking to find the true God and His perfect plan for humanity. Call the Christian Research Institute and order One Nation Under Gods by Richard Abanis. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also listed on our website at www.equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The recent tragic rash of suicides among homosexual teens has raised the question of whether Christian teaching about homosexuality inspires bullying and violence against homosexuals. Learn not only how these accusations do not stand up under scrutiny, but also why it's essential that we examine ourselves and our rhetoric in Joe Dallas's article entitled, "The Bully Pulpit: When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame?" Other topics include Old Testament storytelling apologetics, the Christian citizen, what skeptics want Christians to know, a critique of director George Nolfi's The Adjustment Bureau, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
As the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fit together perfectly to reveal a clear picture, so when we study messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, we see clearly the one and only face to emerge, the face of Jesus Christ. Hank Hanegraaff's latest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, places major Old Testament prophecies about Christ right at your fingertips, ready to deepen your own understanding and help you to share the truth persuasively with anyone who asks. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support this month, we'll send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, to equip you to know why you believe Jesus is the Messiah. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and delighted to have this opportunity to talk to Joe Dallas as we take your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He is a brave defender of the faith. He is working in a very difficult part of the vineyard. He deserves your support and prayers. He's written an article called The Bully Pulpit, When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame? It's in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. You want to make sure that you subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. And before I go back to Joe, I want to start this segment with something that I think is important. In fact, I would be remiss here if I did not explicitly address the biblical perspective regarding same-sex sexuality. I've talked about the New Testament. In the Old Testament, for a male to have same-sex intercourse with another man, as though the latter were not a male but a female, was distinctly forbidden. In fact, prescriptions of Leviticus are grounded in transcultural creation structures, and the closest analogies appear to be prescriptions to incest, adultery, and bestiality, all forms of sexual behavior that continue to be rejected by contemporary communities of faith. And my question to you, Joe Dallas, is what's going to happen when we cave in, as we are caving in on this subject? What's going to happen down the line? Look into the future. What happens if we don't stem the tide?
Well, down the line is the correct phrase to use, because, of course, it means we will be blurring lines that God has clearly drawn. And the more you blur those lines, the less guidance you provide regarding one of our most basic drives and one of the easiest drives to get out of hand, and that is our sexual drive. Created intent celebrates human sexuality, and it celebrates it within clear guidelines because our Creator fully understands the needs of men and women, the complementary benefit of the male-female relationship, not to mention the sexual union as a representation of God's relationship with His people. So we are in for some very serious consequences. We cannot blur this line without also blurring the lines that prohibit polygamy and incest, and many other variations of human sexuality we probably wouldn't even want to name on this show, Hank. But believe me, it's not going to stop with this behavior. It's going to extend itself to behaviors none of us reckoned on.
And the need for courage.
Yes. And in a way, this brings us back to Christianity 101. I think that for so long, the church and the culture have been on the same page on many issues, and this is one of them. The culture, which was not a Christian culture, but certainly a Christian-influenced culture. I mean, the country is not the church. Not all Americans have necessarily been saved at any given time, but certainly the church and culture both pretty much preached the same sexual ethic until we got into the 60s, and particularly the 70s as well. And that's when the culture started to drift further and further from biblical authority and Judeo-Christian principles. And as a result now, there is increased pressure on the church to shift with the culture. So, you know, we're in a fight that we really didn't pick, Hank. We didn't ask for this, but we are being pressured more and more to shift on positions that we can't shift on. And as a result, there's this growing tension. So indeed, it will call for courage on our part and kind of a reminder of the fact that, well, the church's primary mission is not to be approved of by the world. Of course, we don't want to go out of our way to create problems. We don't want to be jerks. But the reality is, the clearer our stand, the more controversy will probably be generated as the culture shifts further and further away from that stand.
A popular sentiment today is that the Bible is increasingly irrelevant in a modern age of scientific enlightenment, and therefore, when the Bible's condemnation of homosexuality is referenced, it is not uncommon to see expressions of polite exasperation etched on the faces of the masses. And the point here that needs to be underscored, Joe, is that we need, as Christians, to be always ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect, and no more important issue than being able to demonstrate that the Bible is indeed the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, and that takes some work.
It does. It takes intellectual exercise. It takes, of course, courage. And you mentioned earlier that we really need to be drawing on God's Spirit as well for the anointing of the words we speak, for enhanced wisdom that James told us to pray for. In a way, I keep thinking of this as an issue that kind of drives us more and more into the proper spiritual disciplines, because to speak on this issue requires wisdom, sensitivity, courage, clarity, and, you know, right when you want to throw up your hands and say, oh, forget it, it's too much of a struggle, that's right when you realize, well, you know, Jesus did say, without me, you can do nothing. And so it enhances, I think, our realization of our reliance on him.
Oh, beautifully said, and that is the bottom line. We cannot do it on our own. And we're living with eternity in mind, and we ought to ultimately think about this not as a we they siege mentality against any group, but rather a mission to reach people with the love and grace and goodness that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart. A lot of people hanging on. Let's go to the phone calls. Next up is Mark. He's listening in Midwest Missouri. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. This is a subject that's very sensitive, obviously, and ultimately it begins, I think, with acceptance of the word as inerrant. From there, it's a free for all, and they are going to listen to the culture. I'm at a position where I have a unique opportunity that Christ has placed me to stand in the gap for impressionable young ones. And I've ultimately come to the conclusion that the best thing we can do is pray. Besides that, how do we stand in the gap to protect the minds of impressionable ones?
Unfortunately, Mark, I think that to a point, we have to recognize our limitations. There are so many voices out there now. Some of them good, some of them neutral, some of them terrible. And in a way, I think that the voices of today are kind of like the air. There's kind of a general level of pollution that we're all suffering from, and we can't fully protect anybody from that. Having said that, of course there's a lot we can do. We can be living out the ethics that we preach. We can be, you know, taking our marriage vows very seriously. taking the admonitions against lust very seriously, you know, and really modeling for kids especially, but for the culture at large also, the fact that biblical principles work. When we take them seriously, when we apply them, our lives are better. It's not just right, it's better. And I think that when we can model a better way, we have much more authority then to speak to people about the alternatives to that better way and why they're not satisfactory. So I think that's one good way to do it. Another, of course, is to be talking about the broader principles as opportunity allows. The broader principle being we have a creator, our creator loves us, our creator has communicated with us and is communicating with us through his word. What does that word have to say about the critical issues of our time? And I think following those lines, we can have tremendous impact. This isn't a done deal. We, you know, all is not lost. Serious, but not lost.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tom, listening on KAYX in Higginsville, Missouri. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank, Joe. It's nice to be speaking with you.
Nice to talk to you.
I was wondering, are you familiar with the North American Man-Boy Love Association?
Yes, I am.
Well, this should give you a good insight in why this population control program is being promoted by the mainstream media. The attack on the nuclear family has been going on for quite some time. Things like making men on nighttime sitcoms seem dumb and of no count. Also, we have about 10 or 12 years ago, there was up to 32 homosexual characters on the nighttime sitcoms.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. Now, I want to be fair. I am very aware of the North American Man-Boy Love Association, which is in essence a pedophile organization. And I do not presume that if someone is a homosexual, he is also a pedophile. I certainly think the pedophile movement tries to ride on the coattails of the gay rights movement. And I have feared for decades now that the legitimization of homosexuality does open the door towards the legitimization of many other behaviors, even behaviors that homosexuals themselves, by and large, disapprove of. So I don't want to sit here and automatically lump them together, but I do share your general concern that our kids have been indoctrinated. They're hearing information way too early about matters that you know, even adults didn't speak about openly 40 years ago. And I think we'll continue to see more of the same, but that just tells me in our own homes we need to be that much more diligent, because we are still mom and dad. We still have the ultimate bully pulpit, which is our home base.
Talking to Joe Dallas again, the article, it's a must read. It's titled The Bully Pulpit: When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame? What I love about this article, as everything that is written by Joe Dallas on this subject and other subjects as well, is that here you have a clear thinker who cuts to the chase. When you get done reading the article, you'll understand the issues and why it is so critical for you as a Christian to be informed at this particular epoch in time. We'll be right back with more of your questions in Joe Dallas.
Set sail into the beauty of Alaska on CRI's 2011 Alaskan Cruise. Join Hank Hanegraaff, Steve Camp, and Elliot Miller for the experience of a lifetime.
Hi, this is Elliot Miller, the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. I wanted to invite you to join us for the 2011 CRI Alaska Cruise, June 3rd through 10th. Last year, I was able to join many listeners to the Bible Answer Man as we did a Caribbean cruise. The fellowship that we had, the prayer, the Bible study, the worship, it was truly a family experience. The opportunity to hear Hank Hanegraaff teaching on a daily basis and Steve Camp ministering both through teaching and song is something that you just can't get anywhere else. So I invite you to go to equip.org and read all about the cruise and join us this June.
To register, call Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101, or go online to equip.org. But don't go away. The Bible Answer Man will be right back after this. Many people throughout history have declared themselves the Messiah. So how can we be sure that Jesus is in fact the one and only Messiah? In Hank Hanegraaff's newest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, Hank gives seven memorable points of messianic identification that leave no doubt Jesus is the one. As the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fit together perfectly to reveal a clear picture, so when we study messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, we see clearly the one and only face to emerge, the face of Jesus Christ. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support, we'll send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, to give you the assurance that no one but Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study in answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the Complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. As an organ of the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we've been talking to Joe Dallas about the bully pulpit when gay teens commit suicide or preachers to blame, an article in the Christian Research Journal. It's a must read, but I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that there are a lot of articles as well as books by Joe Dallas that you can find on the World Wide Web at equip.org. One of the books that I think is transcendently important is a book titled The Game Plan. the Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity. I think this book is significant on a lot of different levels, but certainly, Joe, I think it's significant because a lot of Christians are losing their moral compass and as a result are losing their right, as it were, to speak to the world on sexual issues in general. And this is a very significant issue that you've put your finger on, and you're saying not only is this a problem, but there has to be a strategy for dealing with the problem in an epoch of time in which men are being bombarded with sexual content from virtually every direction.
Yeah, and you know, Hank, to a point, it may be that our topic today is a symptom of that broader problem in that we really do abdicate moral authority when we have moral compromise in our own lives. So I know millions of Christian men are very concerned about homosexuality, about the gay rights movement and same-sex marriage, and they should be. But if those same Christian men are privately using internet pornography or having affairs as married men, then they really are a part of the problem that they say they want to solve. So certainly we've got to be willing to take the log out of our own eyes when we look at moral issues. And I do believe one of the most prevalent serious problems in the church today is the problem of sexual compromise, private sexual compromise among Christian men and women, but certainly among Christian men. And I don't think we can ever operate in the power that we're meant to operate if we don't operate with integrity.
And you are saying in this book that not only is there a problem, but you're saying there is a solution. Cash that out for us.
Yeah, so that's why the book is titled The Game Plan, and I will always be so grateful to you, Hank, for helping me to actually get that book put together. You endorsed it and encouraged me all along the way while I was writing that. But yes, there is a solution. That is to say, if we want to maintain moral sexual integrity and purity, we have to be proactive. We have to be willing to admit that we live in a time that is enhancing sexual compromise. We have to have the proper checks and balances in our own lives. We have to learn honesty, transparency, biblically based accountability and body ministry. We have to learn to abide in Christ. We have to learn to be in the Word on a daily basis and keep up the kind of spiritual consistency that makes us men and women who can stand in a world that is largely telling us to fall.
The Game Plan, the Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity. If you're struggling in this area, and I know a lot of you are, this is a must read. It's not just an option, it's a must. And again, it is available. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Joe, I want to talk a little more in this segment about gay Christianity and the church. And in doing that, I want to play a clip. A clip by Kaylee Jean on faith and struggles with homosexuality. This is a clip which actually comes from an internet website. New York Times Coming Out is the webpage. And this is a 15-year-old girl talking about gay Christianity. And I think to listen to this carefully as an audience and then have Joe speak to what's being communicated in this clip will be hugely important.
God was always what gave me faith. I mean, I would pray to him about my sexuality. I would ask him, you know what? What do you want? What do you want me to do here? And he would give me the confidence and the strength to really get through whatever feelings I had. I was heavy with questions because, I mean, no matter how strong your relationship is with God, I mean, you still question. Well, I asked my dad, do you think I'm going to go to hell because I'm gay? And I can usually ask him questions about this because he's pretty educated in the Bible. And he said, you know what? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? And I said, yeah. And he said, do you believe that you invited Jesus into your heart and that you know you're a Christian? And I said, I guess so, yeah. He said, well, then that answers your question for you. You're going to heaven.
Your response?
Well, your heart has to go out to this young lady because she sounds like someone who's very sincere and is searching, but I believe she is very sincerely wrong. I think the first error she expressed was the error of asking God about something that God has already clearly spoken on. When she said she started asking God, praying to God, is this right or is this wrong? What about my sexuality? That presumes that he had not already clearly spelled out in the Word his position on sexuality. So when we bypass that and leave it up to our ability to spiritually discern God's voice in areas God has already clearly spoken on, we're right off the bat subjecting ourselves to error. Secondly, in turning it into a heaven and hell issue, she, I think, oversimplifies things when she asked her father, will I go to hell because I'm gay? Well, technically speaking, I don't believe people go to hell for being gay or for committing adultery or for lying or stealing. They lose out on eternal life because they have rejected Jesus Christ. But a Christian can certainly be in sin, and even if that Christian isn't necessarily going to hell, that doesn't mean that what the Christian is doing is all right in God's sight. Jesus addressed the churches in the book of Revelation, and he addressed them as his people who belonged to him, and he said, I have some things against you. He corrected them. And I think the way this young lady is presenting the issue is that if you won't go to hell for engaging in homosexuality because you're a born-again believer so you're saved, then somehow that makes it okay. That is the same as saying that we can continue to deliberately sin just because our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's a very serious error indeed.
And Joe, we are making a lot of errors as a Christian community. Speak to our audience in general terms about how we can deal with the issue of homosexuality, human sexuality, and the need for us to stand with some kind of North Star, because once the argument devolves to a popularity contest, society loses its mooring, loses its grip, and ultimately devolves into chaos.
It really does, and this has been a concern you and I have talked about quite a few times, Hank, is the growing trend that's placing more emphasis on popularity than on clarity. This is a time when, more than ever, clarity is called for. We have to know, and we have to live, and we have to express. We have to know what God has said on an issue, if indeed God has said something on it, and on this issue he certainly has. We need to live out what God has said on an issue. If we promote the idea of the sanctity of marriage as defined by Scripture, then we must take our marriage vows seriously and remain monogamous externally and internally. Husbands must love their wives. Wives must give themselves to their husbands. We have to take the family unit with a whole new level of seriousness. And then we have to clearly, lovingly, boldly express what we have learned and lived out about the definition of the role of the family. And if we do that, I still believe we can have tremendous impact.
We're talking to Joe Dallas, and as always, so much appreciate your contribution to the Christian Research Journal, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Institute. Joe Dallas, of course, is the program director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. It's a Christian counseling service to men dealing with sexual addiction, homosexuality, and other sexual relational problems. He's a member of the American Association of Christian Counselors. He's the author of 5 books on human sexuality, including his latest book, The Complete Christian Guide to Understanding Homosexuality. This is an issue Joe understands, he deals with correctly, but more importantly, even than his correctness on the subject, is his compassion in communicating and modeling as a role model how we should deal with this issue. And Joe, as always, we are deeply grateful for your ministry and for your contribution to our ministry. You are reaching and touching and helping a lot of lives, and I know you're in the trenches and sometimes it's tough, but from one Christian leader to another, thank you so much for your diligence.
Well, thank you. I know that you know a thing or two about trenches, Hank, and it is always an honor working with you.
God bless you, my friend. Joe Dallas, again, he is the author of The Bully Pulpit. When Gay Teens Commit Suicide and Preachers Are to Blame, it's in the Christian Research Journal. If you're subscribing, it'll be on your doorstep. If you're not subscribing, you need to remedy that woeful situation. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. As we close the broadcast today, you'll recognize once again we deal with difficult issues. We deal with those issues without compromise, head on. We bring the very best voices on the issues to this broadcast so that you might learn discernment skills, so that you will know the difference between that which is right and that which is wrong, so that you might take essential Christian doctrine and use it, not abuse it, but use it as an opportunity to make a difference in an epoch of time where we cannot afford to be wrong and we cannot afford to wrongly communicate the message. As a believer, someone that loves the Lord, someone that loves the ring of truth, we ask you to stand with this ministry. We are in the trenches. Sometimes it's tough. But we need the tough-minded who love Jesus to stand with this ministry, because we're making a difference not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Again, my thanks to Joe Dallas. We look forward to seeing you right here next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer difficult Bible questions, and strengthen believers in their walk with the Lord. To find resources to help you, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The recent tragic rash of suicides among homosexual teens has raised the question of whether Christian teaching about homosexuality inspires bullying and violence against homosexuals. Learn not only how these accusations do not stand up under scrutiny, but also why it's essential that we examine ourselves and our rhetoric in Joe Dallas's article entitled "The Bully Pulpit: When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame?" Other topics include Old Testament storytelling apologetics, the Christian citizen, what skeptics want Christians to know, a critique of director George Nolfe's The Adjustment Bureau, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Many people throughout history have declared themselves the Messiah. So how can we be sure that Jesus is in fact the one and only Messiah? In Hank Hanegraaff's newest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, Hank gives seven memorable points of messianic identification that leave no doubt Jesus is the one. As the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fit together perfectly to reveal a clear picture,
So when we study messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, we see clearly the one and only face to emerge, the face of Jesus Christ. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support, we'll send you Jesus, the superstar of biblical prophecy, to give you the assurance that no one but Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.